Yo! What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another segment of House of J. Of course, y'all know who it is. This is your host with the most, Trey Dismute. And yo, I want to thank everybody for tuning in last week for the Become Stronger episode, man. I got some pretty good feedback on that, y'all. And it really encouraged me to talk about the subject that has been given to me today, which is about growing our leadership capacity. And I really want everybody to hone in. This is gonna be definitely a note-taking type of I got notes right here too, man. I didn't want to miss a thing. I wanted to read them exactly how I took them and really share with you about leadership capacity and you know, asking God to help me grow it and to be better and to be more effective in the areas that I have decided to participate in my life. So y'all, please do not go anywhere. Yo, we are gonna be right back on the House of J. Yo, what's up, everybody? Thank you guys for tuning in and not going anywhere. We are back on the House of J. Of course, this is your host, Trey Dismute. And like I said, yo, today is going to be phenomenal. It has already been a phenomenal day. Each and every one of us woke up. Y'all got to remember that somebody did it. So that is at least one thing to be grateful for. No matter what you are going through, the fact that you're alive and still breathing means that you have an opportunity to continue to move forward and to do something greater. So I'm just going to jump right into it. So we're going to talk about enlarging, right, our capacity for leadership, right? So like within each of us is an enormous capacity to fulfill our God-given call, like to see our dreams fulfilled and to continue having influence in God's kingdom. Like our capacity, it has to increase. And yet, many of us live well below our potential, limited by our ability to manage pressure and personal levels of stress. And there's no shame in facing challenges, because everybody does. And pressure and stress are a normal part of life. And there is no such thing as a stress-free life. It's not possible. But let me tell you something. The first step is to decide that you do not want to stay where you are. But that doesn't mean trying to get rid of stress by running from it. It means becoming better at how you handle it. And believe it or not, when you approach stress in the right way, it can motivate you towards your dreams and your goals. So, I do a lot of research, right, on different books in the Bible, and I read up on scholars, and scholars believe, right, Psalm 3 and 4 are a pair that were written by David on the same day, right? And Psalm 3 was written on the morning and Psalm 4 in the evening. You know, David was fleeing from Jerusalem for his life as his own son, Absalom. And if you don't know who Absalom is, you can read about him as David's son, and Absalom was trying to take over, and he was fleeing from his son so he wouldn't get killed, and his cohorts pursued him, like the people who, because Absalom apparently had a way to influence the people around him, so they convinced him that's basically what they should do. And in David's distress, right, he turned to the Lord, who enlarged him through the pressure. So in Psalm 4 and 1, it says, God, you are my righteousness, my champion defender. It says, answer me when I cry for help. Whenever I was in distress, you enlarged me. I'm being squeezed again and I need your kindness right away. It says, grant me your grace and hear my prayer and set me free. Like, you don't have a stress issue. You have a capacity issue. Remember that. This is one of the things I want you to write down, that you do not have a stress issue. You have a capacity issue. So if you run from the things that are applying pressure on you, you'll step away from the path of purpose and live an unfulfilled and dissatisfied life, right? And the key to increasing your capacity is to decide you will allow God to work in your life and to stretch you beyond your comfort zone and enlarge your capacity to overcome challenges. Just as he did for David. God has answers for you amid your stress. And he can, as long as you stick it in and ask him, God can extend and grow your capacity. So we're going to talk about stress versus distress, right? Because more and more young people struggle with stress in the early stages of their life in this day and age for some reason. And unfortunately, when we are ruled by stress, it limits our ability to move forward. But you don't have to live that way. You can develop the capacity to manage and use stress for your advantage. So when stress crosses the line to become distress, it is destructive. Like, if you find yourself in the red zone, right, running on high RPMs, like for my car people, it is a dangerous place that potentially leads to anxiety, you know, panic attacks and depression. And perhaps you didn't realize there's another way to handle stress. So then what should you do before your stress becomes distress? And many people choose to draw back and step away from the sources of their stress. But this is always at the cost of fulfillment. Like, the better choice is to grow your capacity, right? And forging a pathway to fulfilling all that God has put in your heart. You were never intended to face life's challenges alone. And the scripture, like, if you read through the scriptures are filled with assurances of God's faithfulness, you know, his protection and deliverance in our life. And Paul exhorted the Philippian church to exchange worry for prayer. And in fact, as Christians, we are commanded, like, to just be anxious for nothing, not one thing. So I want you to think about it. Like, can you identify, like, sources of stress in your life? And sources can be, you know, many. It can be, you know, various things. But personal issues related to your, you know, your upbringing and history, like, can have a significant impact, causing internal stress. Like, even family and relationships, as well as work or ministry, are they're all common sources of stress. There are also times when, like, unexpected or unprovoked challenges or crises are thrown at you. And usually the cause of your stress is not one single thing, but a combination of factors. Rather than blaming the external things, look within, right? Look within, like, yourself to find out what is going on to cause the feelings of stress so you can deal with it. So I want to talk about three steps, right, to dealing with stress. And I want you to write these down, right? So the first step, you got to decide. And what I mean by that is you have to move beyond your comfort zone and perceived limitations with a firm decision to grow bigger than your sources of your stress. And then the second step, right, to deal with stress is you have to trust God, right? Trusting God is foundational and will give you the confidence to grow beyond your challenges. God will build your life and step by step, and he will make a way where there is no way. And number three is you have to speak life words. And what that means is, A generous confession, right, focuses on the positive, and faith-filled expectations will move your life forward. Be intentional with your words. The carnal nature always defaults to the negative of human beings. I know you've noticed that. I've noticed it too. But like, it always defaults to the negative. But listen, God has big plans for you, but you won't fulfill them if you stay small inside. And when your capacity increases, what once caused you distress no longer does. And developing your capacity is going to be an ongoing journey that yields a fulfilling life. And the thing with this is you have to learn, when you're doing this, you have to learn to bring balance into your life. So life is a journey, right? Of highs and lows and wins and losses and mountaintops and deep valleys. And we must navigate these well if we're going to live a productive and fulfilling life. And living, you know, quote unquote, worthy of the calling is speaking to the way we live in every circumstance and situation, internally and externally. The key is knowing how to deal wisely with our emotions and our thinking to ride through the ups and downs in steadiness and direction. Peter warned, right, us to be well balanced and temperate and sober of mind. He tells us to be vigilant and cautious at all times, for that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. And he tells us this in 1 Peter chapter 5 and 8. And this is important advice, because living a balanced life will guard you against the enemy's hidden traps. So rather than looking for excuses for unhelpful behavior or looking for remedies and answers, artists who tour, right, for months on stage, like night after night, and then return to the routines and realities of normal life can have a difficult time reconciling the two. And often they fall into deep depression, unable to function in a balanced and healthy way at home. Or someone who faces a continual sequence of setbacks or blows, like, can struggle to stay on top mentally. But when you're working at your vocation from a sense of calling, you will find a way to get through the ups and downs along the way. And the truth is that no matter what life brings, if you're going to grow your capacity, you must get good at balancing your responses to the ups and downs as they come along. So I want you to ask yourself, how consistent am I? And do I swing, you know, from awesome highs to deep lows in my spiritual life or in my relationships or my thought life? So think about it. If you have extreme fluctuations in the way that you behave and respond, you won't be able to develop the emotional capacity to keep going through the challenges or adversities when they come. So you have to take care of your soul and build balanced and consistent habits that nurture your spiritual, physical, and your mental health. Living with emotional balance will bring stability to your life and behavior. So you have to ask the Lord to help you learn a more balanced way to live your life and everything that is going on in it. So The more that we do this, the more that we understand everything that is going on in our life, we realize how important that it truly is. And the way that we can do that is learning to lighten our load. I've heard it and I've said it before, especially when I've been busy, is there just aren't enough hours in the day, right? And it's a common plea and a comment for the overcommitted. Now, in Exodus 18, it recounts a similar situation in Moses' life, right? He was trying to govern and counsel millions of Hebrews, you know, wearing himself out and everyone else in the process. So, and think about it. Does this sound like a little bit of your life at times? Like Jethro exclaimed, "This is not good," advising Moses to hand over certain responsibilities to other capable people. He focused Moses on matters that required his leadership alone. And as your life and my life moves forward and our capacity increases, we cannot continue to do more unless there are other areas where we are doing less. So what do you want to accomplish? What should you continue and what should you discontinue? There will be times when you'll need to offload the things that keep pulling you into the small, robbing you of time and energy. And that won't necessarily be the same as the tedious things, you know, you don't enjoy, but it will be the things that prevent you from living at a higher level and moving forward. So how do you identify what to offload and what to retain? And listen, I got a checklist and I want to read off of it. Like the following is to help you decide like what to lighten from your load and releasing you to increase your capacity and productivity. And so this is how you identify the unnecessary. And the first thing, ask yourself, what is your objective? And then second thing is this task helping to accomplish your objective? And could someone else be doing it? And even, is it essential to what you want to achieve? And does it serve any real purpose? And how is it helping the big picture? Or is it something you do because, you know, that's just how we've always done it? Or is it a distraction? And is it draining resources? In John 10, chapter 10, verses 10, it tells us that Jesus came that we can have and enjoy our life to the full until it overflows. If your life is overflowing with distractions, burdens, and unnecessary tasks, then it's a safe guess, you know, that you won't be enjoying life or growing your capacity. The overflowing life Jesus came to give you is one that is continually releasing you into your God-given calling and allows you to help and release others into theirs. So we have to let go. Let go of worry. Let go of the things that are going on so we are able to move forward and become stronger in the areas we need to. So don't worry about it. Like when someone responds with this saying, don't worry about it, this seems like, you know, seeming throwaway line. Like, do you think that's easier said than done? And the truth is, when worry is ruling and overtaking you, it's not easy to simply decide not to worry. Nevertheless, like worry is a tool the devil uses to take self-control away from you. The Bible commands that we be anxious for nothing in Philippians. And why? Because worry can quickly deteriorate into anxiety, and anxiety can end up crippling you. And the bottom line is, worry is a trust issue. Do you trust God or don't you? Do you believe his word or do you not? Like, do you believe he will take care of you or not? The real issue at the root of worry is whether or not you trust God. When David was captive, right, of the Philistines in Gath, he wrote, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you, when he was talking to God. So if you trust God, you may still feel the emotion of a situation, but when the confidence is in who he is, you won't be overtaken with anxiety. It was the very thing that Job feared that ended up happening to him. Worry is fear, and fear opens an unseen door for the curse to activate in your life. On the other hand, trusting God shuts the door on the devil and opens the way for God's covenant promises to come to pass in your life. Trusting God is a choice. It's not a feeling. And that choice will determine the course of your life. In 1 Peter chapter 5, I believe it's verse 7 and 8, so it tells us to casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. To be sober, be vigilant, I'm sorry, because your adversary, the devil, walks like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The devil is looking for someone whom he may devour. May being the operative word. When we choose fear over faith, worry over trust, we give the devil permission to devour us. Shut him down by casting all your cares on God and trust him who is mighty in his care for you. Devil, you may not. In Psalm, it says, God met me more than halfway. He freed me from my anxious fears. Look at him. Give him your warmest smile. Never hide your feelings from him. When I was desperate, I called out and God got me out of a tight spot. A revelation of Jesus and who you are in him will increase your capacity to trust him above how you may feel. You cannot grow your capacity without growing your trust in God. Listen, I'm going to repeat it. You cannot grow your capacity without growing your trust in God. If you look down, you will be defeated. If you look around, you will be distracted and discouraged. But if you look up and beyond the challenges, you will see God above it all. And my last point is your capacity for risk. Like, your leadership capacity is dependent on your risk quotient. And this is, it has often been said, right, that faith is spelled R-I-S-K, right? And maybe the whole idea of taking risk makes you cringe. But if you stop for a moment and think about it, to some extent, everyone takes risk every day. When you drive your car, you risk an accident. When you use your credit card, you risk the potential of fraudulent activity. When you share an idea, you risk rejection. But not all risks are created equally. When you risk loving, you risk not being loved in return. But blindly entering a situation without investigation or consideration or possible consequences is taking a foolish risk. On the other hand, a measured risk is informed and discusses possible outcomes, weighing up whether the risk is worth taking against a potential reward. A measured risk is not, foolhardy or impulsive. For example, right? Let me think of something. So, for example, borrowing money, right, for a house requires meeting certain lending criteria to minimize the financial institution's risk that you won't be able to make your payments against the profit it stands to make in interest, right? So that is measured a calculated risk, not only by the bank, but also by you. And to function best at your job and achieve your potential in God's plan, you must step out of the boat and take some form of risk. Living strictly within a job profile would not develop your potential. It's important to understand that you will have to take some risk to increase your capacity. Your long-term future can look exciting, but what about the risk and decisions you must make to get there? Do you have the capacity to make the decisions and take the risks that are necessary? Like, we will readily receive a promise from or word from God. But what about the process required to see them come to pass? The promise of a newly engaged couple's future is filled with excitement and dreams. Trust me, I know. In a few days, it's going to be my 1-year anniversary. But let me tell you something. But to see this happen requires some commitment and courage. And very often, the process looks nothing like the destination. It's usually easier not to take a risk. But at what cost? Without the ability or willingness to take risks, your capacity will not grow. And your life will stagnate at the cost of your potential. If you're looking for reasons to not take risks, you will always find them. There will always be someone to blame or rationale to support your avoidance. Like, we all value safety, but the will of God never comes without an element of risk and is often counterintuitive. Not illogical, but extra logical for higher than logic. And remember, though, it's not about foolish or impulsive risk, but after careful evaluation, those you believe God is leading you to take toward your goal. So increasing your capacity to handle stress and risk will open up a tremendously exciting journey into all that awaits you in the plans and purposes of God. In Ephesians, it says, "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do good works which God predestined and planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made us ready and made ready for us to live." I want you guys to understand the true potential and power as we pray. together. Like, say, I want you to say, and just repeat after me, say, Lord, help me to remember to trust in you when I am facing pressure and stress. You have promised to strengthen and enlarge me whenever I am in distress. I rely on your grace to deliver me and to increase my capacity in all things I do. Lord, give me the courage to step outside of what is safe and comfortable as I trust you to cover me with all of your all-sufficient grace. Holy Spirit, teach me how to grow my capacity to handle life's challenges from a posture of trust and expectation of good. Thank you for your faithfulness to me, even when I don't see it. You are my refuge and my strength, and with you, all things are possible. Father, you see my life from beginning to end. Your plans for me are good to prosper me and strengthen me. I know that this doesn't mean I am exempt from challenges, disappointments, or setbacks, but that you are with me through all of them, using them to bring about your plans in my life. Holy Spirit, teach me how to lean on your grace through the wins and all of the losses in my life. Father, I want to build greater balance into my life and shut down the enemy's opportunities to savage my future. Holy Spirit, empower me to keep my focus on the right things, to make wise and healthy choices so I can live in a way that is completely worthy to your calling and your calling alone. Lord, help me to recognize the things that are holding me back and keeping me from your plans and purposes. I want to enjoy the life Jesus came to give me and to help others do the exact same things in their lives as well. Father, I don't want to be ruled by worry, because when I do, it means that I am not trusting you. Instead, I choose to trust you and believe you. For you say, I am in Christ. Holy Spirit, from this moment forward, help me to cast all my cares upon your care for me, no matter what situation or circumstance is going on in my life. And Lord, I pray that my life will be rooted and grounded in your all-encompassing love, that I will trust you through all my life's journey. So then I will have the power and the capacity to fulfill your highest plans and purposes in me and for me. And in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. I thank you guys for joining me today. I thank you for listening to this podcast. I hope I was able to help you and give you some encouraging notes and encouraging things to really think about, and that I was able to expound upon anything. If you guys need me to expound a bit more or to explain things a bit more, go ahead and send me a message. Go ahead and hit me up at all my people on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, on Stitcher, on Spotify. Everybody hit me up. Keep sending me messages, y'all. You don't understand how overjoyed I am and encouraged every time I get them. Every time you tell me, man, like, this really encouraged me to move forward and keep pressing towards and trusting God and all that he has in my life. I love each and every one of you guys. Have a fantastic day and a fantastic week. Until next time, y'all, I'm out. Peace.